Hello, and welcome to Simple Man Sermons, the preachings of a simple man called by God to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I was just telling the wife how wonderful it is, how good it is to have something to preach about. A lot of times I won't really know until I sit down to preach. The Holy Spirit will give me something to preach about, but it was nice that I knew this. Been thinking about this since yesterday, discussing it with a tribe of men, and they knew who they are. And that correspondence is a blessing, and now it will be a blessing to you as well. Let us read, starting in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Some of that again for you, and see if it doesn't sound familiar. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that not sound like today's culture? Lovers of pleasure. Now let's contrast that with the greatest of all the commandments. And this is often twisted, as it also talks about in Scripture. People will twist the Scripture. But I think that's a preaching for another time. But in today's culture, even in a lot of places where people tout themselves Christian, you know, they say things like, oh, you just got to love your neighbor. And that means I can do whatever I want, as long as I'm loving my neighbor. First of all, no. That is the second commandment. It is not the first commandment. The first commandment, the greatest commandment, when Jesus is asked the greatest commandment, he doesn't say love your neighbor as yourself. He says the greatest of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In the last times, men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do we not see that in culture today? People saying things like, Who are you to tell me what's right and wrong? It feels good. I want to do it. It feels right. Yeah, sure, she might be married and I might be married, but it feels good. We love each other. I'm loving my neighbor as myself. Sure, the Bible says adultery is wrong, but it feels good. Other kind of relationships our culture has said is okay, that God clearly says is wrong. People will twist and say, oh, it's done out of love, so it's okay. You don't get to decide what right and wrong is. That does not lie within your power. God does that. God is wiser than us. He is smarter than us. He decides what right and wrong is. If you loved God more than you loved pleasure, even if there were something that you really wanted, you wouldn't do it out of love and respect for the Father rather than love and respect of pleasure. If you put pleasure and your feeling above God, that is your idol. You are a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God. Let's look at James. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. Now that's straight out of God's law. You shall not show partiality nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Back to James. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak as do some of those who shall be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy trumps over judgment. Let us look at Romans. Very succinctly it says, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." And let's go straight to the mouth of Jesus when he is asked, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Loving God and loving your neighbor, all the commandments sum them up. It's not whatever you want it to be. God gives us clear instructions on how to love him and how to love our neighbor, because God understands love. God is love. The Bible says very plainly, God is love. 1 John, God is love. He understands love because he is love. Jesus understands love because he is love. He is the Word made flesh. The words were given to us. We may know how to love God and love our neighbor. It's not whatever we want it to be. Love is not whatever we want it to be. God defines what love is. He tells us how to love him. I'm not going to get into all the ways he tells us how to love him. But when he gives clear instructions on how to love him, he says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself the carved image, any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down and serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." You shall not make for yourself any carved image. You can't ascribe to love God and go to some pagan Buddhist temple and bat out of some fat statue. That's not loving God. No matter how you feel, no matter how it pleases you, you're a lover of pleasure then and not a lover of God. God says how to love him, and he says, "You shall not make for yourself any carved image, any likeness of anything." The Lord says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." The third commandment. Just because it makes you feel better, you can't blaspheme the name of God. That is not loving God. No matter how it makes you feel, you don't do it. I don't care how it makes you feel, you shall not commit adultery. That is not loving your neighbor. I don't care who's okay with it, who's not okay with it, however you feel, whoever the other person is, whatever kind of person they are. There's no wiggle room in that commandment. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. I don't care if the person doesn't appreciate what they have and you really want it. That's loving pleasure rather than loving God. Don't do that. You shall not steal. That's pretty clear. A big one in today's culture, you shall not covet. Pretty much a big chunk of our economy and the programming they put on TV to program you is about you coveting what your neighbor has and focusing on what your neighbor has instead of focusing on God. You shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Why do you do that? Because you love God more than you love pleasure, more than you love stuff, more than you love things. For Jesus says, "The abundance of a man's life does not consist in the things in which he possesses." But culture today, society, will try and tell you otherwise. They'll try and tell you that your life is defined by how much crap that you have. You love God. Love God first and foremost. And part of that love is faith. Belief in God. Belief that He is smarter and wiser than you. That if He is telling you to do one thing and you want another, you follow Him and not what you want, not your pleasure. That's being a man of God. Trusting that God is smarter than you and wiser than you, and He knows what's best for you more than you do. Let's take this to an analogy of a father and a child. Now, a child may just want to eat candy and junk food and Twinkies and Pop-Tarts all the time. But a good parent, a good father, would not let that happen. Because the kid might want the pleasure of those things, but the father knows in the long term where those things lead. And he is wiser, and he wants them to eat good, nutritious food, to be a strong man or woman. He knows more than the child. Likewise, your Heavenly Father, how much more does He know than we know? Part of loving God and loving your neighbor is trusting God that He knows how to best love Him and how to best love your neighbor more than you do. He gives you clear and concise instructions. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. What does Revelation 18 say? Come out of her, my people. It's what the word holy means, to be set apart. Be set apart from that wicked culture. Not to love the culture. Now love the people. We're all sinners. But a way to love them is to get them also out of that culture, not to embrace the culture in it with them and say, oh, I'm doing this wicked thing with my neighbor out of love. No, if you love, you withdraw, and you withdraw your neighbor out of those wicked things. That's how to love your neighbor. It's not loving your neighbor to let him go to hell just because it makes him happy to do the things he's doing. It's loving your neighbor to save him, to show him salvation in the man Jesus Christ. That's true love. Now let's look for continuity in another place in Scripture. You'll find this in 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Let us also go to Jude. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. So you may be nodding your head about culture and society today, but the gospel is called the good news. So what's the good news? Well, first of all, the good news is that this was written for your benefit. It should again reinforce that God is in control. God knows all this. He tells you it beforehand so that you can be ready. He tells you this. He knows. It's not a surprise to God that people will turn away from Him and love pleasure more than they love God. He's telling you this is going to happen. He told you about it thousands of years ago. It's not a shock. It's not a shock to God. He knew about it, just like He knew about Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah and their wickedness. He's telling you this for your good because He loves you. He's telling you, don't do this. I don't care what culture is doing. You don't do it. You be set apart. Revelation 18 again. Come out of her, my people. Be separate, says the Lord. That's what holy means. Kadosh. Holy. You are the holy ones. You are called to be set apart. You are called to be different. Come out of her, my people. Don't be part of her sins, partake of her plagues. Come out. Be separate. When everybody else is lost, wandering around the city of Babylon, distracted by shiny things and pleasure, not you. You come out. You be set apart. Remember earlier, we read from 2 Peter, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's good news. He is long-suffering, enduring this wicked culture for you. If you're listening to this, he's waited long enough for you to hear this, to repent. Do you know what repent means? It doesn't mean, the word repentance doesn't mean to be sorrowful and hang your head down and whatever. The word repentance means change your mind. Remember how we read lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They flip-flopped it. They love their own pleasures more than they love God. But repent, change your mind. Repent, metanoia, change of mind. Change your mind. Love God more than you love pleasure. Repent, turn to God. That's the good news. You have time. You're listening to this. God is long-suffering, but he is rich in mercy, the Bible says. So run to him. Repent, turn away from sin and turn to God. That's what repentance means, to turn back to God. To change your mind, to change your ways, to change your heart. Repent. Repentance is not a bad thing. It is a beautiful, God-given thing. Oh, it's good news. It's good news if you would hear it and accept it. It is a beautiful thing. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. From the book of Romans, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Good news. Romans again. "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.' Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now that's good news. Jesus is a greater Savior than you are a sinner. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Repent. He is a great Savior. "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." You'll find that in Hebrews 7. As it is written, "Cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. He loves you. He loved you so much he died for you. God loves you so much he gave his son to wash you clean." So repent. Turn to a God that loves you that much, and love him and love your neighbor the way you're supposed to. Love God more than you love pleasure. That's good news. Now, as we read with the Lord, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. And as Jesus himself says, nobody knows the day or the hour. But you're called to watch and be ready. Just like Jesus says, watch and be ready, watch and be ready. More than once he says, watch and be ready. And watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I don't know exactly where you are in your walk, but I know what the answer is. The answer is always God. If you turn to God, that's always the right answer. If you turn from sin, if you turn from lust, if you turn from, you know, loving pleasure to loving God, if you turn to God, God is always the answer. Because you love God so much, you are wanting and waiting and anticipating, just like you would the love of anybody else. If you love them so much, you want them to come back. When they're away, you miss them. You want them to return. And when they return, you want to be watching and waiting in love with them. So be in love with God. God is always the answer, and turning to God is always the answer. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day.